1 Corinthians chapter number 12, in verse number 1, he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Now, you know, the word gifts is italicized. And if you study the Greek, actually, it says spirituals, plural. Now concerning spirituals, the word gifts isn't in the original. And it says, "Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Now that sounds funny. That doesn't sound like language we would use. But what does that mean? It means in the margin, it says matters of and things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. He said he doesn't want us ignorant about those things. So I believe that's why the Lord gave me an assignment. I believe it was the end of 2017, 16, whichever one. The Lord gave me an assignment. He said, "I want you to start a new assignment for the church here. I want you to start training this congregation in the things of the Spirit." And we've done that, not every service, but, you know, throughout that, from that time to this, we've talked more about things of the Spirit, things that pertain to the Holy Spirit. Are you learning anything from these lessons? Amen. And so he said that to me because I don't think he wants us ignorant. You know, this verse says he doesn't want us ignorant concerning things that pertain to the Holy Spirit. We could talk about the Holy Spirit. In fact, I think we did one or two classes in Bible school. We could talk for weeks and weeks and weeks. We could talk for years about the Holy Spirit. He's mentioned all through the Bible. But yet, right on the other hand, what's the Lord wanting to talk about tonight? Tonight, we just need to talk more about this glory, this manifested glory. Amen. Because I believe you and I as a congregation, we're coming to the place that God is ready to do some more things and this congregation is ready to participate in it, ready to cooperate in it. Amen. That doesn't mean every service we have to swing from the chandelier. Well, we don't have any chandeliers, but swing from the ceiling or swing from the sprinkler system or something. We don't in every service, we don't have to run the aisles or, you know. You know anything? Well, I mean, that God moves that way. We have those moves. And people wonder sometimes what it is. Well, it's the move of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean it has to be that way every single time. But there's every single service. But there's always something that God is doing in services. Amen. It could be just counseling us in our spirit while you're sitting there. Counseling. The Spirit of God, take what the word was shared and start counseling you, like Pastor Debbie said tonight. And just start breaking it down. And feeding your spirit and talking to you about answers and things you need. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It might not be an outward demonstration, but simple things that the Lord says in a service can save our lives. Amen. So the last service, I should say last Wednesday night, we talked about building the spiritual house. And we talked about 1 Peter 2:5. I'm not going to take a lot of time. Just do a little recapping. How that we're lively stones built up a spiritual house. Remember, individually, we're lively stones, but we come together to build something corporately. And that's what he's referring to here. We know individually we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that. But there's also a truth in the New Testament about us corporately forming a spiritual house. 1 Corinthians 3:16 in the Amplified, in the Classic, it says, "Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, God, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you to become a home in you collectively as a church and also individually?" So that's corporately as well as individually. We've taught these things. We're not going to spend all the time recapping all that, just mentioning it as we go by here. 1 Timothy 3:15, it says that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Right. Talking about corporately. Hebrews 3:6, Christ is the son over his own house, whose house are we? Corporately. Amen. Now, what's that house for? Ephesians 2:19 through 22. "Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone," building, chief cornerstone, "in whom all the building, fitly framed," sounds like a building going up, "together grows unto a holy," are you looking at your Bible? "Temple." Are y'all okay? What did it say? Holy what? Temple in the Lord, in whom also you are. Somebody's not looking at their Bible. You are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You're just listening because I'm going so fast. That's what you're doing. I figured you out. Amen. You are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, I'm sorry. That must be the Amplified, is it? Is that the Amplified? Okay, I'm recapping. Amen. So what we find here is that notice, we're builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So that tells us what this corporate house is all about. God wants to fill his house with the glory, just like he did every other house he ever had on the earth in the Old Testament. And we looked at that in Exodus 40. We looked at that in, what is it? 2 Chronicles 15, I believe. No, excuse me. 2 Chronicles, what is it? 2 Chronicles 5, I believe. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. 2 Chronicles 5, where it talks about Solomon built the temple. And then Exodus 40, where Moses built the tabernacle. Those were God's house on the earth in the Old Testament. And as soon as it got built according to divine order and divine destruction, because God told him exactly the size of everything, the materials to use, I mean, where each court should be, in the inner court, outer court. He told him exactly. I mean, you know, let's stop subtracting inches from the ark. You know what I'm talking about? Let's just do what God said exactly. Let's just go ahead and follow God's instructions and not put our own interpretation on it. And say, well, we have a better idea. No, we don't have a better idea. So they built that exactly like God told them. And as soon as they got it built and they went in there to dedicate it, the Bible said in both times in Exodus 40 and in 2 Chronicles 5 that God filled the house with his glory. And a cloud appeared. The manifest presence of God. So we see what God's plan is for his house. He wants to fill it with his glory. Now individually, he wants whenever a person is born again, the Spirit of God comes into them. You don't need to be baptized of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, to be saved and for the Holy Spirit to live in you. He lives in you because you're born again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But there's an additional work of the Spirit that I remember whenever Paul found certain disciples at Ephesus, he said, so have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Remember that? And then they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, which was a separate work than the new birth. Then you find another case when Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and they believed and received Jesus. Then the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John that they might be filled with lay their hands on them and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So they were believers already. They had already received Jesus. They are already born again. They're already washed in the blood. The Holy Spirit came in them to reside, but they weren't yet filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a separate work.
Yes, sir.
What is God doing? He's filling his house with the glory. He wants every house he has on the earth to be filled with his glory. That's the will of God for every believer, not just some believers. Some people say, well, you know, the Bible says that each one of us have our gift, and that gift of tongues, that's not for me, that's just somebody else's gift. No, you're mixing all tongues together and confusing it and thinking that all of it's the same thing. The Bible said there's such a thing as diversities of tongues. That's where people get confused. They don't rightly divide the word.
Right.
No, the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues and filling the house with the glory is God's plan for every one of his believers. Every one of them. And we could take time. Just go to the vault and get the Holy Spirit audios and you can find all that. I can't reteach that tonight. But so that's God filling the individual house with his glory. And he doesn't want to just do that once. He wants to. You find Peter in the book of Acts in the first, I think, four chapters getting filled with the Spirit three different times.
Yes, come on.
Amen. It should be a continual effect. Continually refilled.
Amen.
Continually refilled. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'm just so heavy and downtrodden. Well, why don't you get filled up again with the Holy Ghost? But then that's individually. Now, corporately, he said here in Ephesians chapter 2, and we read it over in 1 Corinthians 3 and in other verses. But Ephesians says his plan is that we be formed and built upon the chief cornerstone. Isn't that right? And that the building is fitly framed together and grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So not only individually does God want everyone of His house to be filled with the Spirit and filled with the glory, He wants us corporately when we come together to form a spiritual house, because we're lively stones, build up a spiritual house.
Amen.
He wants that, and why does He want to do that? Here He said, to fill it with the glory.
Yes.
To fill it with the glory. In other words, we ought to be accustomed to when we come together that the house just gets full of the Holy Ghost. Now somebody said, well, you're talking about me individually? Yeah. But how about just corporately? Where the whole room we're in gets filled with. Now I don't mean you have to see a cloud every service. You won't see a cloud every service. That's not what I mean. But God's presence ought to be moving and manifesting in some manner. In some manner. Amen. Now, we want to just take this a little further, because I sense that we're going to put a series out on this, and I sense that we need to address more than just this congregation, but address some things in the larger, some issues in the larger body of Christ.
Amen.
So, but the thing that you see in the Old Testament, when God said to Moses how to build the tabernacle, and then when He said to Solomon, or David actually, and then Solomon built the temple, he told him exactly how to do it. He told him exact materials to use, the exact dimensions. I mean, everything. He told him exact. They didn't have to figure anything out. And because that was God's plan for their worship in the Old Testament. They'd come to the house where God's presence was. There was a building back then. Today it's not a building. But they would come to the physical house that God dwelt, His presence dwelt in, and they would worship God there.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. And so that was God's plan, and He told him exactly how to build it, all that. But the thing I want you to see is He told him, one of the things He said was that everything was to be made of pure gold. Amen. Exodus 25 talks about in verse 1, 2, 1 through 2, 8, 17, 21 through 22. I know you didn't get all that, but He told him exactly what was to be made out of gold. Everything. Especially in the Holy of Holies. Everything, every wall, every piece of furniture, everything was overlaid with pure gold. Amen. Then 1 Kings 6, when it come to the temple, many verses in that passage. 1 Kings 6, when it came to the temple, everything was overlaid in the temple. In the Holy of Holies, overlaid with pure gold. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's the instructions He gave them. Now, whenever He filled that house with His glory, He was honoring, amen, the fact that they built it according to His plans. They didn't cut inches off the ark. They didn't put brass for gold. They didn't change up the size. They didn't make the curtain out of something different than what He said to make. They didn't dye the curtain a different color than He said to dye, because He told them everything to do. You can read through it, and it's amazing the details He gave them. Now, if you read Hebrews chapter number 8, you'll find out that the reason He told them exactly how to do it in the Old Testament, because He was showing them the exact pattern of the one in heaven. The exact pattern of the one in heaven. Woo, glory be to God. He said in Hebrews, what is it, 8:6 or something like that? See that you make all things according to the pattern shown thee on the mount. Told Moses, he was up on the Mount Sinai. See, make everything just like. Because He said it was a shadow of the one that is to come. What's the one to come? The one that we're going to go to when we go up there. Where there's a temple in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And but anyway, God told him exactly how to make it, and he was on when he filled that house with his glory, both in tabernacle and temple. He was honoring the fact that they did it exactly like he said. They didn't come up with a different design or change materials or colors or anything. Amen. Amen. Now, well, the fact that he wanted pure gold, I'm just recapping, but we're going to get into something today. The fact he wanted pure gold in the Holy of Holies is very strategic. Because gold, and he said, and if you read closely, you'll see that he said over and over again, it needs to be pure gold. Say pure gold. Amen. Not something mixed with some other materials. He wanted it to be pure. Amen. Because pure gold represented God and His plan and what He said to do rather than man's plan. You're following me. It represents God's design, God's plan, and it represents pure worship, true worship, in spirit and in truth. Not a mixture of spirit and flesh. See, remember the Bible said all these things in the Old Testament are types and shadows. When we come to John chapter number 4, Jesus met the woman at the well, and he got into a discussion with her about where men ought to worship. He said, well, it's in Jerusalem and at the temples where God said to worship. But he said, the hour comes and now is. You see, he's ushering in the new covenant. That they that worship him will worship not in a location on the earth, a physical building, but they'll worship in spirit and in truth. So those Old Testament types are types of worshiping in spirit and truth. Pure gold is a type of worshiping in spirit and in truth. And both times, whenever you see when they dedicated the tabernacle and dedicated the temple, both times it was a praise service, worship service, whenever the glory filled the house. Amen. And if we'll worship according to New Testament design, New Testament, the New Testament order, a new order has come, Jesus said. The time has come and now is. That they that worship must worship in spirit and truth. In other words, the gold in the temple was a type of worshiping in spirit and in truth. Purity. Not a mixture of spirit and flesh. See, in the Old Testament, really, they worshiped in the flesh. David danced before the Lord with all his might. That was the tabernacle, or the Ark of the Covenant coming back. Remember, the Philistines had stolen it, and it's coming back now. And David, that's the presence of God. And David danced before the Lord in front of that. The Bible said, with all his strength, with all his might. See, that's in his might. Today we worship in spirit, under the anointing of the Spirit, by the inspiration of the Spirit, out of our spirit, and out of a true, pure heart, one that's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we want to understand this, and I think I want to spend a little time here tonight talking about this, because if we'll follow God's plan, the house will get filled with the glory. When we're watching our watch, you know what I'm talking about, and we're thinking about other things, then that really hinders, because we're not in the spirit, we're in the flesh. If I could say it that way. Are you with me tonight? Now, let's get into this a little bit further, because really, the Lord really wants to do some great and mighty things in our midst by the move of the Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, apparently, because he wants to do that, apparently he's not able to do more because we're not cooperating with him properly. If he wants to do it, why has he not been doing it? Because, you see, everything he wants to do, he has to get us to cooperate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He has to have us following design order.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, we're moving in our praise and worship. We're moving forward. But do you realize there's still more room to go? And so I want to just get into this a little bit tonight. Amen. Now, Jesus, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, concerning things of the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. And so we want to look at this issue of the move of the Spirit, the house getting filled with the cloud, the very manifest presence of God. I want to look at this a little bit more, especially through worshiping in spirit and in truth. And especially through reverence. Amen. Because he wants to do some mighty things. But he must be only able to do them in measure. Are you with me? Because otherwise more would be happening. I'm not just laying this off on you. I'm talking about all of us. Amen. Because he must be limited by our proper cooperation, or lack of proper cooperation, you might say. Amen. Really, his work on the earth can't be done apart from his people. You don't see in the Bible anywhere where his glory just manifested out somewhere apart from one of his people being there, or a group of his people being there. Amen. You don't just see it randomly manifesting. It manifests with and around his people.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
He cooperates with us. Because, especially in the New Testament, we are his house. Amen. Where did the glory first fall on the day of Pentecost? In that upper room where they were up in one accord. Worshiping God, praying and worshiping God. Amen. Hallelujah. Why did that jail in Acts 16 get filled with the glory of God and shake the doors open and shake their chains off? Because there was two people there, Paul and Silas, praying and singing praises, and the glory fell on that. The glory fell on that praise service. In the fourth chapter, you see the same thing. They got to praying and worshiping God, and the Bible said suddenly the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. That's that spiritual house got formed. Woo, glory be to God. I got a glory bubble on that one. Now, all through the Bible, and really men and women of God in more recent days have really spoken prophetically about a great move of the Spirit on the earth before Jesus returns. Y'all with me on that? I mean, you know, you see it all through the Bible. You see it in James chapter number 5. You see Jesus talking about it. You see Joel talking about the early and the latter rain. And you see all the harvest that James talks about coming in because of that latter rain and so forth and so on. And then men of the Spirit have prophesied that. Yes. Men and women. You and I say men. I'm talking about men and women, of course. But they have also emphasized the importance of the right atmosphere for that to happen. They've also emphasized reverence and honor for the move of the Spirit, for God to be able to do this. Amen. And that the more we reverence God and the more we honor the move of God and his Spirit moving amongst us, the deeper the move will be. I want you to hear that. Amen. Brother Hagin prophesied, I don't have the exact words, I'm paraphrasing here, that when these things are restored, reverence and honor for the move of the Spirit is restored in our midst, in our services, there will be a restoration, and then he said even a multiplication of the miraculous power of God in manifestation. Amen. This is where we're going to see legs grow, arms grow. We have some things. We have some things in the move of the Spirit, but we don't have all that's available.
Come on.
Why? Because we've got to still continue to learn how to come in unity and form this spiritual house.
Amen.
I told you about a prayer meeting that we were in. I think some of you were here. That the Spirit of God started moving strong on us about the election. Real strong. I don't know if it would have changed the election, but it was a strong anointing. And we started praying, and I saw where God was going, and we started yielding to it. And all of a sudden, the anointing left just like a bird flew off my shoulder. Just left. I mean, it was the most grievous thing. My heart sank. I said, Lord, what was that? What happened? He said, there's too much unbelief in the room. In other words, what we were going to have to say in prayer, what we were going to have to do, and it proved out later, I knew exactly who the unbelief was in, and that person came to me, stomped up here after service, several services, and all mad and huffy about some things. And then finally said, I'm out. Well, that's we don't want them to leave, but right on the other hand, we do want a pure house. We want pure gold. Not man's thinking. We want what God has to say. Not our opinion. Not what we want. Not what we wish. What God has to say. Amen. And so these things have to be gotten out of the house. Sometimes. Amen. So these men of the Spirit have spoken that the more we develop in reverence, the more we respond to the Spirit and we honor the move of the Spirit, the greater and deeper these demonstrations will be and the move of the Spirit will be. I'm ready for the kind of moves where we're plastered on the floor for 3 hours and with wave after wave of God's presence working in this congregation. Changing, rearranging, putting things in, taking things out. Hallelujah. To where we are changed. We've been being changed. We're going from glory to glory. But there are deep moves of the Spirit that get her done in a lickety split. You know what I'm talking about? I've come out of some of those kinds of services. I don't think I've ever laid on the floor for 3 hours, but I mean that kind of presence and holiness. And it tends to go with you for a month or 6 weeks. It just does something to you. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where they call the fire department because there's smoke coming off the building. As a sign. I'm talking about where the miraculous is commonplace. You mean just on a Wednesday night? Well, did God say it was just on Sunday morning? My heart burns within me when I hear men of the Spirit talk about this restoration of true reverence. Amen. In the house of God. Now, when I say the house, I mean corporately when we come together. I'm not talking about the physical building. But it burns in me whenever I hear these calls for restoration to reverence. The restoration of what's necessary for this glory. I'll be honest with you, the strongest moves of God I've ever experienced have never been in a service with other people. It's been in my private prayer closet. Because it's difficult to get a group of people in unity. Now, it's much easier to get a church congregation in unity than it is to have a meeting where believers from across the city or across the nation come together and get them in unity. There's all kinds of thoughts and ideas and doctrines and thinking. And if God did move, half the congregation would leave. Half the people would leave. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Too much unbelief. But it's easier to get a congregation like this into that kind of unity. And we're on our way. Amen. Well, we're seeing some better things. But how about we keep on building this house? What do you say? Hallelujah. So, this burning in my heart for this greater move of the Spirit gets stronger and stronger, and it's almost become like a desperation. I can identify with others that have said similar things. We can't produce the move of the Spirit, but we can create the atmosphere that He moves in. You understand what I'm talking about? We can produce the atmosphere. What do I mean, the atmosphere? Well, take, for example, in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. They came together. It was in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, such as it mentions them. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. See, there's the atmosphere that He moves and manifests Himself in. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. In other words, they were in one accord in worshiping God and separating themselves to seek God. And in that atmosphere, the Holy Ghost moved. We can create an atmosphere of Him move. We can't tell God, okay, we want 3 words of knowledge. We want an angel to appear. We want this and that. No, we can't tell Him what to do. But we can create the atmosphere that He starts moving in some way. Even if it's just talking to our hearts, giving us direction and counsel for the next steps we need to take or something like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We can return to a regard for what these spiritual men and women have said by the Spirit and what they transferred to us through their lives in ministry. Amen. Rather than set them aside as old and obsolete in order to embrace a new fad we're instructed in the Bible. You can read this in Proverbs 22:28. He said, move not the old landmarks which your fathers have set. Amen. I said amen. In other words, rather than set these men of the Spirit aside and act like, well, you know, this is a new day and, you know, we have new leadership now. Listen, that verse is saying from Proverbs 22:28. Write it down. Don't remove the old landmarks, which ancient means old if you look it up. Old landmarks which thy fathers have set. That's talking about those that have gone before us are to have a voice into the directions we choose.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We are not to just set them aside and say, well, we have new leadership now. People who are forward, looking forward, are going to get off track if they don't also look backwards.
Right. Yes, sir.
Jude 1:3. Jude 1:3 talks about earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. In other words, there's some things that the previous generation had delivered to them that we're to hold fast to and not lose. Men have paid the price in prayer, in consecration, in seeking God, in meditating on the Word, and getting their own thinking out, and brought forth revelation in previous generations that are Bible-based, solid, and their ministries were proven ministries, and also the Holy Ghost, the head of the church, Acts talks about this actually, confirmed their ministry with signs and wonders.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now there's a lot of them, men and women. But we just take one of them, Brother Hagin. People get all upset because we mentioned Brother Hagin's name. Well, that's because you have a problem.
Exactly.
You have a problem. You have set aside the ancient landmarks which previous generations have set. But anyway, Brother Hagin was confirmed by many, many signs and wonders that his ministry was from God. And he's not the only one. We've got many through all the way back to Martin Luther, all the way up through, you know. But we're just talking about our most recent, landmarks that were set in our lives. His ministry was, I don't remember the number. I guess if you went and counted them, he did. Just the ones he's spoken about, there's at least 8 or more, probably more than that actually, visitations from Jesus, the head of the church himself. Yeah. Came and talked to him sometimes for an hour and a half. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're just going to set that aside and count him a nut? Whenever he kept going back to the Word, and it was right there in the Word, 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 right there in the Word. The authority of the believer right there in the Word the whole time. Amen. You're going to have to decide. Is he a nut or is he for real? And all these men. You know? All these men. Lester Summerall, T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Catherine Kuhlman, ladies too, you know what I mean? Amy Simple McPherson, Lester Summerall, I might have mentioned him already. You to go back to Smith Wigglesworth, you go back to all these men of the Spirit, men of faith, men who stayed and actually pioneered the progress of the move of the Spirit. The Spirit, the move of God kept moving forward because they were obedient to the Spirit, and their ministry was confirmed by signs. Are you with me? I said they were confirmed by signs. Now, my desire is to not move away from those landmarks. Are you with me? Amen. This verse keeps coming up to me. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse number 22. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Notice, approved of God by signs and miracles. The closer ministers or ministries or churches, individuals for that matter, but I'm talking about ministries tonight, are to God's divine plan for New Testament praise and worship, New Testament ministry, the more signs there are. Well, what about these churches that don't have any signs? They're not very close.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't get mad at me. The Bible said it.
Yeah.
They get people born again. Thank God for it. That's part of God's plan. But that's just in the shallow waters of God's plan. Listen, I need to say some things tonight. Can you pull it out of me? See, we've got to recognize that the closer a man gets to God's plan, the deeper the move of the Spirit. Because God is confirming that and saying, this is where I am. This is what I'm doing.
Come on now.
I'm not talking about off the wall signs and miracles. I'm not talking about gold dust appearing and stuff. There's things that you don't see in the Bible that I just shy away from. I'm talking about things that are in the Bible. Amen. Or that draw attention to God, not to a man. Amen. So, hallelujah. The stamp of approval on these ministries is the anointing. That's God confirming their ministry. Amen. And those ministries that as they progress, they keep following God's plan and they keep moving away from man's plan as far as his plan for praise and worship, his plan for ministry, and man, I'm talking about man's plan for all of church and how church is conducted and, you know, whether we should do this or whether we should do that. Can we get a crowd if we sell cars? Can we get a crowd if we raffle cars? That's not God's plan. That's flesh. That's man's plan. What you get them with, you got to keep them with.
Thank you.
Amen. Now, I'll just be honest with you. That's why we moved the giving away bikes to the daycare families to every other year. Because I had it in my heart to do something to get people saved.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm not trying to be mean on anybody. I'm just simply saying we got to follow. Anyway, so praise the Lord. When God confirms a ministry with the anointing moving and they continually tweak themselves into line up with the plan of the Bible in the New Testament, that ministry starts going from glory to glory. Because the changes they made are more in line with God's plan for this hour than the fads of the world. Wait, you're talking about the church. Yes, and I said fads of the world. The world, there's fads of the world in the church. There's worldliness in the church. Amen. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was addressing. This is only one example. There's more than that. Was addressing whenever he said, clapping is neither praise nor worship. It's applause, and you do that for politicians, you do that for man, but you don't bring God down to man's level. The Bible says lifting up holy hands. What is that? Reverence. This is irreverent. Especially when somebody's prophesying. You can't even, if God's the one using the man or woman to prophesy and people clap and interrupt the prophecy and you can't hear the prophecy, then God's interrupting himself. And that's only one example of irreverence that gets into the things of the Spirit and it diminishes the anointing. Am I making any sense tonight? 1 Corinthians 3:18 says we're to go from glory to glory. Amen. So when our lives and ministries... Yeah, you can clap to the beat of the music. But when our lives and ministries move with God and his plan, his glory will manifest to a greater degree. You need to hear that tonight. That's what I'm talking about. We need to go from one degree to another degree. We have God's manifest glory to a degree. We have the moves of the Spirit of the dark church. But we want to go from what degree we're at to another degree. But we've got to get closer to his plan for New Testament praise and worship. Closer to his plan for worship, for ministry.
Yes.
Closer to his plan to come together in unity.
Yes.
Closer to his plan to do it in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Closer to his plan concerning reverence.
Yes.
Are you with me? That's what Pastor Debbie was addressing at the end of that glory conference about children in the service. Amen.
Yes,
especially when the Spirit of God moves.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Have them put down their pad and pay attention.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, people, they get upset at things, but do we want the glory or do we not want the glory? So we just have to recognize there's still tweaking that needs to happen, or else more things would be moving. That's not a slam. That's just a recognition that we haven't arrived. Amen. So when ministers today implement the changes in line with when they implement the wrong changes in line with man's plan, they're actually diminishing the move and the work of the Spirit in their midst. Amen. To go into some churches today, praise and worship looks like a production, like a Hollywood production or something like that. It's designed for, it makes people comfortable coming in and watching like they're watching a show, rather than participating and the team bringing people into the presence of God. There's worship teams that I've seen, many of them on YouTube. It draws a whole lot of attention to them. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that that team lead us into our attention on Him. In man's plan, they're the performers, and we're the audience out here in the congregation. In God's plan, God is the audience. We're not performing. We're directing our praise towards Him.
Amen.
So we've got to come closer to God's plan. Amen. It's not enough for us just to kind of look around and watch our watch and be distracted. Amen. So we must go from glory to glory to be changed more in line with His plan. Now, when ministries implement man's plan, it diminishes the glory. The sad thing is, and they've done this in the name of not offending anyone and getting a larger crowd. And I believe God wants to get more people. Don't misunderstand me. And so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the sad thing is, whenever they make changes, ministries make changes to in order to get a bigger crowd, when they implement those changes, a lot of times, most of those ministers, when the glory diminishes or the anointing diminishes or the move of the Spirit diminishes, most of those ministers and probably all of the people in the congregation don't even recognize what they lost. You understand? They're too focused on pleasing the crowd. We want to do what pleases the crowd. We want to change this kind of music because the crowd likes this kind of music. Well, I'm not talking about, you know, I believe it's fine to stay up with the modern style of music and everything. But what about the words?
Yeah.
And what about, I don't know if you've heard some music. It's got some mention of the truths of God's word in it. But there's a lot of other things in there.
Yeah, it's true.
And I notice sometimes in some songs the anointing never falls. There's times we've sang songs in the past. I kept noticing the anointing never falls. So I told the team, cut that one out.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Heaven doesn't like that one.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you realize some Christian music? In fact, most of the production kind of concert Christian music today is written by cigar puffing Hollywood or what's the Nashville producers that don't know God.
Come on.
From some guy walking down the street with a red hat on.
Right, exactly. Come on.
You tell me that's going to have an anointing on it?
Absolutely not.
No. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
It's written to, you know, for concert productions. And that's gotten into the church to get a crowd. But as a result, the precious things, I mean the gold of the move of the Spirit in the house of God, is being gradually removed and replaced with a cheap substitute that doesn't set men free. Now, you remember we said last Wednesday night, I believe it was, that whenever the golden vessels were stolen out of the temple, Solomon's temple, Solomon went on, you know, to Abraham's bosom, and then the next king came in and he had his own plans. And it started opening the door for the enemy nations to attack them. And whenever they were attacked, they stole the vessels out of the temple. The golden vessels out of the temple. Remember that? And Rehoboam, the king that was in power then, replaced them with brass vessels. Looks shiny like gold, but it's not pure. It's a mixture of zinc and something else, copper maybe or whatever it was. But see, that's a type of replacing the pure worship with a something of the world, a mixture with something of the world. Are we saying it clear enough to understand? And so whenever the modern day church brings in worldly things and mixes it in, what they're doing is they're substituting the precious move of the Spirit for cheap substitutes that don't set men free. And he doesn't want us here. 1 Corinthians 12:1, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about that. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Now, when we talk about the glory of God, the move of the Spirit, we're talking about a broad array of different gifts. We're talking about healings and gifts of the Spirit, revelation gifts. We're talking about the glory cloud. We're talking about angels ministering. We're talking about flows of praise and worship. We're talking about flows of prayer. We're talking about utterances of the Spirit. We're talking about a house filled with the cloud. We're talking about whatever God wants to do. Amen. But all these things require a degree of knowledge of how God does things. Because he said here in 1 Corinthians 12:1, I don't want you to be ignorant. I've noticed across the body of Christ, the more people are ignorant about reverence and true praise and worship in spirit and in truth, the less they have the manifestation of the Spirit. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. God doesn't want it. That's what Brother Hagin was trying to do. Jesus was administrating through Jesus. Jesus, the head of the church, was administrating through Brother Hagin the things about getting the brass out and the gold back in so that we could have a greater move of the Spirit. That's what the book Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits is all about. That's what that visitation was all about. And be honest with you, the church, a portion of the church started going with that. But even some of the people that love Brother Hagin moved away from that. Amen. They moved the landmarks. Am I making any sense? And so we've got to have knowledge. That's why he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. We have a part in these things manifesting. They're not just going to happen all sovereignly out here because God decided to move. We have a part in this. Amen. And reverence is part of our part. Amen. Now, there are groups of people that maybe I think have a bit of hunger for the things of God. I can tell it in their music. But yet, right on the other hand, their music is full of, oh God, send the power. Oh God, move right now. Oh God. And he's they're trying to get him to send something, and he's trying to say, okay, follow my ways.
Yes, sir.
Because I notice so many of those groups, I look at them, and it's so worldly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell the way they look, they're worldly thinking. Now, somebody said God looks on the heart. And the Bible says that whatever's in the heart shows up on the outside.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to preach a clothesline sermon, but yet, right on the other hand, the whole atmosphere is like concert-y. It's all dark, and there's fog on the platform, and it's like a show. It's like, if you got the real glory, you don't need the fake fog. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. You got. Hallelujah. That's an awfully cheap substitute. And there's no healing in that mist coming out of your mister up there on the platform. Not trying to be mean. I'm just simply saying we've got to have the gold back in the house. Now, God blesses all of us as far as he can. Did you know that? I said he blesses all of us as far as he can. But one of the things we're going to have to learn is reverence. There's too many of these services. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily ours. There's an element of some things here I want to talk about. But there's an atmosphere, if it's more like a game show kind of atmosphere or a production. You just show up and watch kind of thing. Or you just cheer on those playing the game or something. No, no. No, we're to come into unity.
Yes. Amen.
A corporate house.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, you might think I'm making it up, but I'll be real honest with you. I keep blinking my eyes to see if it's real. But the glory is getting in my eyes. Tonight, it's not necessarily in the crowd, but it's getting in my eyes. And I keep blinking because I think something's wrong, but it's the glory in my eyes. Just moving even as I preach this. We all want to reach more people in larger crowds. We got to ask ourselves the question, though, is that, does that equal success? We are not like the world and can't apply the world's standards to church and say, like the world, if a company gets big or if a group gets big or there's a big crowd that there, you know, a musician has a big crowd or somebody in the world sells a lot of records or whatever they use. We used to call them records, you know, that they're a success.
Yeah.
Is that the definition of success over here in the church? Huh? Are we just a worldly organization? Or are we a spiritual habitation? Are we a spiritual house that has success measured in a different manner? Our success is measured by the spiritual impact and the degree of fruit. And fruit, according to the Bible, is different than numbers. You can have numbers and no fruit. I mean, worldly concerts have numbers. That doesn't mean any fruit was produced for the kingdom of God. Amen. There's a lot of churches that are about a mile wide and a half inch deep as far as the flow of the Spirit. Amen. They have no spiritual depth. But those will eventually fail. Bible said over in Galatians chapter number 6, Dr. Dufresne had a vision about this, caught up to heaven. That which he talks about flesh, Jesus talked to him about flesh churches and spirit churches. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And Jesus talked to brother, Dr. Dufresne about the corruption that would come to churches that are trying to get people by fleshly efforts.
Amen.
And so the real will demonstrate the falseness of the other. So we've got to demonstrate the real. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Sometimes in fact, they have whole teams that come in and tell you how to do, start a new church. And they create business models. They create a marketing scheme. They create, just some sort of man's way of, getting people's attention and so forth. And it's just all man's efforts. The Bible says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want a spiritual house built by the Lord, not a natural house built by me that wears me out. Because it's all fleshly efforts. And by the time I hit 55, which is only not too long here, I'm gone or something because I wore myself out doing something in the flesh. No. No. Amen. And I've been hearing some stories lately about some of these men just falling dead. I'm not rejoicing in that. I'm just simply saying these things of the flesh will fall into corruption. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. True success in ministry or a church or something like that is built by being by that ministry being built according to the pattern of the Spirit in New Testament praise and worship, which includes reverence and worship for God. Now, I'm not trying to pick on you, but I'm just saying some of the things every now and then that happen in our congregation have a little bit of a hip, hip, hooray kind of atmosphere. Right. Let's examine ourselves in that.
Yeah, come on.
It's not just us here tonight.
That's right.
You understand? Just kind of a kind of a, I don't know, just a lightness to us sometimes, just a casualness to us. And I'm not saying it's that bad, but I'm just stopping it before it goes any further. Ask yourself the question, is this worship? praise the Lord. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then just ask God. So we've got to look back to the previous generations. Brother Hagin said, he asked the Lord, he said, we had such a stronger move of the Spirit back there in those early days. And Jesus said to him, yeah, and there was a whole lot more reverence back there too. Amen. Hallelujah. I stayed Sunday, was it last Wednesday night, after many people left, and sat here, sang a song in the Spirit for how long? 15 minutes or something like that. Just sat here and just worshiped God. Well, nobody had to stay, because if you didn't have anything, but see, I was hungry. What if we all got real hungry? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we've got to recognize some things that the gold that some of these ministries in the yesteryear have brought back to the body of Christ, and not move away from that. Amen. Now, we're not talking about going back to, you know, looking like the 1950s or singing songs of the 1950s, unless they're anointed songs, but or changing the style. We're talking about staying with the revelation and the move of the Spirit that those ministries brought. Does that make sense? We don't need to, you know, just kind of make it sound like we've got to go back, you know, to every little different way they different. Because there's some things back there, their songs were different. And today we don't sing that way, you know. But we have the same anointing, and we have the same revelation in what we do sing. Amen. If we truly believe God raised up men or women of the yesteryear as a voice into our life to direct our forward movement and speak into our forward movement, it would be wrong for us to leave them or what they deposited in us, even because they went on to heaven. Sometimes people go on to heaven and people say, well, that's over. Well, the man or the woman moved to heaven, but what God was doing in the earth is not over. Amen. You read about Jesus in Luke chapter number 1. Or excuse me, well, Luke wrote the book of Luke. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost to write the book of Luke. But then he also was used of the Holy Ghost to write Acts. And he wrote Luke, and then he wrote Acts. And he started Acts by saying, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So he said, he's basically saying, okay, I wrote to you what Jesus did while he walked the earth. Now I'm going to write to you about what he continues to do, even though he in his physical body left, and he's doing it through somebody else. Amen. So when these men of yesteryear finished their course and left, they only began some things that God wants to still do through us. But if we take another path, then that stops that, which is what God was doing. It's like a relay race. The Bible said, run the race. It's like a relay race. I ran track and I ran sprints, and I was never very good at the long, you know, long haul, the marathons or anything like that, or the longer races. So I was a sprinter for the short. I'd do the 100, 200 meter, and was real good. But they put me on the 800 meter relay team. And I'd do usually I think it was the first leg I did. But I had to run with a baton. Right. Yeah. And I had to, you know, get to a certain distance away from them, and I'd say, go. And they start running, and I'd run up beside them and hand that baton off. They couldn't win the race without that baton. And that's what the previous generation has done. They ran their race, and they handed it off to us and said, go. And listen, we got to run in that same course. We can't decide, oh, I'm out. I'm going over here. I'm going to run down to the drugstore. No, you're disqualified.
That's right.
You got to stay on track. You got to stay in the lane. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Are you still glad you came to church tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, God's raising up new spiritual leaders because the former generation has passed on. But I caution you to guard against following those who have moved from the landmarks of previous generations and have lost the anointing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's too high a price to pay for me. We're not going to grieve the Holy Ghost like that. Amen. Well, praise God for the truth. God wants to build this house.
Yes.
It's being built up.
Yes.
These other ministers that we have in, they're God speaking to us. Say, have them in because they'll bring something to the house.
Amen.
They'll bring something to help us build this house up.
Glory,
glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And what will happen as we move closer and closer to God's plan for unity and reverence and so forth and so on, like we talked about tonight, this house will be filled with greater degrees of glory. We're talking about signs and wonders and things that we just heard about in years gone by. I don't want to just hear about it anymore. Amen. Let's have it. What do you say? Praise God. Stand with me to your feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's examine when we come together. You know that we're not here in the flesh, but our mind's somewhere else.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That let's examine whether we're putting our heart into our worship for God. That we're, you know, just setting aside everything else. Giving our full attention to God. I heard a story. Pastor Nancy refers to this sometime. She said there was a lady. I know who this lady was, a minister. That was in a meeting where she was in a large auditorium, a lot of people worshiping God. And they were all, you know, singing and so forth. And she looked around and she said, God, isn't this wonderful? All these people worshiping you in one accord. And the Lord said, look again. And the Lord opened her eyes. And there was about five people in a huge auditorium where there was a glory beam shining on them. God opened her eyes to see it. And she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, most of these people aren't worshiping me. They're just going through the motions. Their hearts and minds are somewhere else. Well. Ouch.
Amen.
We're learning. Tell your neighbor we're learning. God wants us to be in one accord and to be our hearts be engaged. Remember Jesus said, actually the Old Testament, Jesus quoted it. He said, your hearts, your mouth you do service to me, but your hearts are far from me. It's not enough for us to just mouth the words. Well, Pastor, I see you on your iPad some during praise and worship. That's because, yeah, while I was worshiping God, God spoke to me and said, tell him this.
Amen.
And I got to write it down.
Amen. Praise God.
That's not because I'm just distracted.
No, sir.
I'm not emailing somebody.
No, sir. Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory.
Hallelujah. Say it out loud. We're going from glory to glory. We're going from faith to faith.
Glory to
God.
Glory to God.
This house is getting built.
Yes, this house is getting built.
Amen.